Save big money on your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I'm Kim, and I'm joined, as always, by my book besties, Anna and Christina. Woo! Hello! Hello, ladies! Friends, we are here tonight for such a fun episode. We haven't done one of these in, like, a while, I feel like.
A while. It's been a long time. I'm so excited.
We're beside ourselves with glee.
Guys, I mean, I had to, like, really pick and choose what books I was going to talk about because I have read a lot since CC3.
Yeah.
So many.
And I feel like we just, especially after CC3, it was like very intense, like in a good way, but it's nice to just like get to show up and like giggle and laugh about books. Should probably tell you what this episode is. This is a book recs episode. Yay. Woo! KU specifically, although I am going to be doing a little fun rant.
Oh, I love a good Kim rant.
Some of you really love a good Kim rant, and it's not a KU book, but it's like a really popular book. So I'm going to rant about it. It's going to be really fun, but I'll be quick.
Love it.
But yeah, we're going to do some KU book recs because we needed it after CC3. Did we not? I mean.
We did.
We surely did in our souls.
So these are going to be no spoilers, obviously. And then we have one book at the end that we've all read. Christina's still finishing it. And we're going to do a book chat on Patreon about it.
Ah! Yeah.
So excited. But everything else will be spoiler except for my rant, which I will give a clear spoiler warning for and skip ahead. Quickly, one last thing. We're going to do some Patreon shout-outs. Yay!
Yeah!
Okay, to our Tier 2 book bitches, tonight we are going to be shouting out Kate Anderson, Linz, Dominique, Morgan, and Catherine Robbins.
Woo!
Hi, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. We love you so much with our whole hearts.
We do. Y'all are the best. We could not do this without you guys. And
seriously. I know we say that every time.
We do, but it's still true.
It's still true.
So, yay. Okay. Anna, do you want to start us off?
Kick us off, girl.
Yes. The book I'm going to talk about is Pretty Rings and Broken Things by Kat Singleton. Mm-hmm. You may have heard about her other book called Black Ties and White Lies.
Mm-hmm. I love these titles so
great
much.
Great titles.
I know. So, in very classic Anna fashion, I did not read book one.
Of course you didn't. Yeah.
Classic.
Why would you?
It's a classic. Some might call me a sociopath. I say I just read what I want to read.
That's right. Life's too short.
So this is book two. I believe there's going to be a third book in the series. I'm not sure. I skipped book one because the reviews were like very, very mixed. I was very interested. It had been downloaded for a really long time on my Kindle. And I just was like, you know what? I just couldn't find the time to read it. And I was like, the reviews are mixed.
Okay.
But then Pretty Rings and Broken Things, I was seeing ARC reviews for on like various groups. And I was like, this sounds actually right up my alley. Just the little excerpts I was reading. Uh-huh. So I actually set a notification in my phone, and when it came out, it reminded me to go, like, download it. And this has a much higher rating on Goodreads. The rating on Goodreads for this one is, like, over 10,000 reviews, and it's, like, 4 stars, or a little over 4 stars.
Great.
The other one was, like, 3 stars.
Three even?
I think it was, like, 3.65.
That's terrible. Terrible on Goodreads. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Oh, my God. Terrible.
Okay. I don't actually usually pay attention to that.
That's over anything over 4 is good.
Okay, good. So this was, I think, 4 or a little over 4. Perfect. And there's like 10,000 reviews.
Perfect. I have this downloaded too, so I'm excited to hear you talk about it.
It's really fun. So this is a little, I feel like I usually come at you guys with like a mafia read or my like Scottish Highlander Regency romances. So this was a little different for me. It's a classic billionaire. It's not a rom-com. It's just like a contemporary romance. It's not dark. It's just a billionaire romance.
Love it.
Okay, so I am going to read a little. I found a Goodreads, Christy. Thank you, Christy. Christy reads a lot.
Thanks, Christy, because
you wrote a great little like summary for me to read.
Love that.
Okay, so Pretty Rings and Broken Things is an arranged marriage billionaire age gap romance in Kat Singleton's Black Tie series. Winnie Bishop and Archer Moore are from feuding families. Basically, his great grandfather, or Archer, Archer's great-grandfather got screwed over by her great-grandfather in what was supposed to be a hotel partnership decades ago, but their families haven't let it go. The story kicks off with Winnie getting betrayed by someone she thought she was falling for, who threatens to go to the media with photos and videos. So basically she falls in love with, like, the help.
Uh-oh.
As, like, her father, like, they're, like, very rich and her father's an asshole. Okay. So she falls in love with, like, her driver. And she has, like, her very first, like, I think she was a virgin until that point. Like, they have sex, and he videotapes it.
No!
And he, yeah, it's really awful. This is all in the beginning. And Winnie. He threatens to, like, sell it to the highest bidder. And
ew! So
that's, yeah, no, terrible. He's gross.
Ew.
So the story kicks off with Winnie being betrayed by someone she thought she was falling for. Okay, I already said that. Her dad steps in and goes to his enemy to ask a favor. The Moore family has more sway and power over the media and could stop the press from running the story. But in exchange, Winnie and Archer will have to marry tomorrow.
Love it. Tomorrow.
Yes. Tomorrow. Okay. So.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Yes. Tomorrow. Okay. This. Great. Then same I'm going to read what she keeps writing because I think it's this. She just sums this up perfectly.
Okay.
This just delivers on everything it promises. The arranged marriage, having to learn about one another quickly to sell their sudden relationship, and all the billionaire vibes. We have my wife energy, he falls first and hard.
Love
and the,
it.
Like all of the like class, like, you know, don't talk about my wife like that.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
There are like cameos and because she's best friends with the girl in book one, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So we get cameos from them if you read book one.
Okay.
And the best part is we get like a Hamptons trip with one bed.
I love a one bed at the end. In the Hamptons.
Because it's like I said, we are all billionaires. This is right. Like a whole billionaire series.
Love it.
So we have like Mile High Club. We have we have private jets. We have homes in the Hamptons.
This.
We have beautiful penthouses.
Yes. Very into this.
So I loved it. He falls first. He falls very hard. There is like a little secret that he's been keeping, but it's not like a dark secret. It's like something kind of sweet,
mm-hmm.
which of course I like figured out, but I feel like if you're looking for, if you know, like, I feel like the vibes are very much there if you're paying attention.
Right.
But
we have
just like, it's like really sweet. It was very, I don't know. It's just like fun to read because he was like a really nice guy. Mm-hmm. He was very protective of her, but like support her. She's like very put down by her father, by her mm-hmm. brother. Mm-hmm. They think she's like just basically a pretty face and like she's always forced to be quiet. She has like interior decorating aspirations and like she loves, you know, their families run like Hilton, you know, empire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that's mm-hmm. what her family does. And she's always been sidelined. She's always been tried to like, they always try to like buy her portions out and all this shit. And,
mm-hmm.
But she is a force. She just has never been given the opportunity to like use her voice.
Yeah.
And she's always been shut down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Archer is really, really good at like building her up mm-hmm. and giving her like a platform to like, no, like you can do this. Like he fully always believes in her.
We love a supportive king.
We love a supportive king. Archer.
You know, there's lots of like long walks in Central Park while he's like trying to force them to get to know each other because obviously he's like likes her. And
right.
she's just like, no, this is only like a year. Like she's very like builds, you know, there's a classic, like they're sharing the bed and she builds like a wall of pillows.
Oh my God.
And he's like, no.
Like, tear that down.
We won't be doing that.
The spice is very good.
Oh, good. Okay, I was
surprised.
Okay.
It's very, very good. Archer is like the right amount of like dominant and like very sexy, but very, I don't know, just like all about her.
Yes.
Like
it's just, That's what we want.
I love it. There's like, there's so much sexual tension and it's kind of like you as a reader are really into it. And then when it happens, you're like, yes. It's perfect.
Oh, I love it.
I'm trying to think. Let's see. What else do I have in my notes? Okay. So like I said, it's KU. Well, obviously it's KU. So like, this is not, I would say like the best. This is not Elsie Silver. Like Elsie Silver ticks all the boxes in terms of plot, emotional growth, character growth, all that shit. And there's always like a hard topic. I feel like in this book, this is very fluff. This is like really fun. Okay. This is a beach read.
Yeah.
This is a book you take on vacation.
Yes.
It's a fast read.
Yeah.
I would say like literally, but with all that being said, like, so the writing is like good. It's not great.
Uh-huh.
I would say that my biggest qualm was just kind of, I felt like the like the ending, especially the last like third act or whatever, was a little hit you over the head with how like fluffy and lovey he was. Mm. That was like the only, okay. But it was, like, there was a few moments where I was like, okay, dude, we get it. You're obsessed
right.
with her.
Right.
But that's, if that's like the worst of it.
Totally.
You know, like sometimes right. it's fun to read that. It's totally.
Exactly. I feel like this is what we were saying about Carter Beckett. We were like if our biggest yes. complaint is he loves her too much, like yeah. we're good. Like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. And it's not too long. It's just the right length. I love can't it. Remember how many pages it was, but I didn't feel like it dragged.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What else? There's no third act breakup, but there is like drama that happens that creates enough tension that you don't get bored.
Okay.
But it's not, that. Like really like necessarily third act drama. It's, okay. But it is tension and drama that happens.
That's got
or it. Sorry, third act breakup.
Breakup, yeah.
This sounds wonderful. Yeah,
that's it. I mean, oh, like I love this quote. Sorry, I saved this quote to read. All I know is every, this is Archer talking. All I know is every time you leave a room, it feels like I can't breathe. And then the moment you return, the air returns to my lungs and I'm able to breathe again.
Yes,
and it's just, I don't know. Like there's so much of that. There's a lot of like, you're my wife. And when you're my wife, nothing hurts what's mine.
Yes.
Like, you know, there's all love these, that. Like, it's great. I loved it. It was really fun. Yay. It was an easy read. I recommend.
Okay, say the name and the author again.
Okay, yes. So that was Pretty Rings and Broken Things by Kat Singleton.
Oh,
and perfect. It's on KU. The yes. first one is Blacked. Honestly, because I liked this one, I actually might go back and read the first
yeah.
one, even though it doesn't have great reviews.
Yeah, just you to, should.
Like, round everything out.
Totally.
Look at you this going is... back and reading the first book in a series.
Wow! Are you? I love it. Okay, Kim, hit us with yours, girl.
Okay, so mine is actually one that we've all read, but we haven't talked about yet in a Book Recs episode. Mm. And that is The Ooh. Fake Out by Stephanie Archer.
Yay!
So, Christina, I think you talked about book one, Behind the Net.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In a Book Recs episode.
I
this
think
is
so.
Book two.
Yeah.
I think you did.
I think so. And if you listeners, if you're curious, I wrote... We loved it so much that I actually wrote an entire post and dedicated it to
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a story review, but I have an entire, but it is
the
in my highlights.
Yeah.
It's in Anna's reviews. Yeah, Anna's reviews for highlights. It's there saved if you go click through it.
Yeah.
Behind the Net.
Behind
it's
the Net.
Really
yeah.
good.
Oh, so this one is book two, The Fake Out. It's like book two in the Vancouver storm. I'm telling you what, all hockey romances are set in Vancouver. All of them. Every single one.
All of them.
Canadians.
And I'm
it.
Fine with that. We love a Canadian.
We do.
I'm going to do a little summary just to like remind us because it's been a while since we read this book. And I think we could all just use
yes,
a little, little refresh. Okay. The best way to get back at my horrible ex, fake date Rory Miller, my ex's rival, the top scorer in pro hockey, and the arrogant, flirtatious hockey player I tutored in high school. Faking it is fun and addictive, though, and beneath the bad boy swagger, Rory's sweet, funny, and protective. He teaches me to skate and spends way too much money on me. He sleeps in my bed and convinces me to break my just one time hookup rule. He kisses me like it's real, and now I wonder if Rory was ever faking it to begin with.
He wasn't.
So, yeah, this is like a fake dating. So the tropes are fake dating, exes, rivals, pro hockey, golden retriever, boy obsessed. We love it.
Yes.
We love
we
it.
Love it.
It was so good.
Rory is the best. Like
Rory was so hot.
So hot.
And so sweet.
Like, so
hot. I love this. I forgot about it honestly until you said you were gonna talk
me
about
too.
It. And I was like, wow, this deserves a call out.
I was like, how have we never talked about it? I mean, just like hasn't the timing didn't work out, but I was scrolling through my Goodreads and I was like, well, this needs a spot in our Rolex episode because it is so good.
Yes.
I mean, we loved it. We loved book one too. So I feel like you can't go wrong.
And yeah. remind me like what the, so it's, is this the one, it's like her ex-boyfriend, right? Was like his rival or obsessed with him or like what was the.
It was yeah. his rival like on another hockey team.
Team. Okay.
Right.
Because like getting, so that's like specifically getting back at him is like what
correct.
The date. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
What
yeah.
happens is there like, what, remind me there, I'm sure there's like an interaction between her and the ex-boyfriend, right? No.
I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
No, I can't really remember. I don't think the ex plays like a huge role in this book. I think
okay.
it's more just like to set up them
fake dating.
To like make him
yes.
jealous, which we just love
we
to see
love
it.
To
like
see it.
We just
this was
like,
such a
oh
good
no, we're fake dating. I have to kiss you. Like darn it. And it's just
oh no, was he not faking the kissing? Wow.
Like was it real?
I'm so surprised.
Was
even
it real?
He was so into it. But yeah, this was a great, like perfect, I feel like, example of all the hockey tropes we want. Truly.
Yeah. Truly, yeah. Highly recommend this series. It's very spicy. So, like,
yeah, heads book up. One and book two are
very
and
spicy.
And don't skip book one. I didn't.
Guys, who is Anna in this episode? Like, I might go back
to be fair, one. There is only one out, so I didn't have a choice.
By skipping the first one, you can just never read a standalone. It's like, well, I can't read the first book, so
so that's it. yes, highly recommend book one as well. That was Behind the Net and the Fake Out by Stephanie Archer. The Vancouver Storm series. So,
yes, book two.
Love it.
Highly recommend.
Love it. Okay.
Okay,
guys,
Christina.
I'm going to hit us with a fun little fantasy. Little fantasy KU.
Oh, yes.
KU.
What?
I know.
Fantasy KU?
Right? Okay.
What is that?
So this is a really fun one. Okay. Is it like award-winning literature? No. Is it going to change our lives? No. But it's a really fun KU, like, palate cleanser fantasy, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to read you the synopses. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Wait, what's the title and who's it by?
Okay, so we're talking about Faded by Starlight by Krista Street. Okay?
I've never heard of this one.
This is number one. There's four books. It's totally completed. The series is called Supernatural Institute. And ooh, this is number one. There's four books. It's all out. Okay. So
are they standalones?
Nope,
or are they?
It's a series.
Okay.
Same people in all of them. Yeah. Okay. So Avery, you'd think a half witch quarter werewolf would be a magical powerhouse, right? Wrong. I'm so nothing special. I'm on the express track to a low magic ambassador job right after I complete 3 months of mandatory supernatural forces training. I never expected my biggest stumbling block to be my new squad commander, Wyatt Jameson.
Oh.
He's everything I'm not, a pure-blooded werewolf who oozes magic. Did I mention he's also my former teenage crush? Okay, so now we have Wyatt. This is dual POV, which is really fun. Okay.
Love that.
Wyatt. And then we can't. 3 months. I just have to get through 3 months of resisting Avery's enticing lilac and rainwater scent. Then she'll be shipped off to Geneva and I can get to work forgetting her inquisitive eyes, infectious laugh, and tantalizing curves. Okay, so it almost kills me to keep her at arm's length, but duty demands it.
Oh, duty.
Demands.
All of that changes, though, when a rare celestial event erupts, changing new powers from Avery. A power that is determined to destroy her. Tasked with unlocking its secrets, I have no choice but to keep her close as I struggle to find her new magic's origins.
Wow.
Christina, you reading that was so, like, animated.
Amazing. I loved amazing. It. 10 out of 10.
No notes.
Okay, so guys, this is so fun. It's so silly. So it's like, okay, this, like, grad school level age we're at, okay?
Okay,
so it's,
okay.
It's giving Fourth Wing in the way that it's like,
I was saying. Yeah,
it's giving Fourth Wing, like, she's the weakest one. Okay. She doesn't really have a lot of magical powers. She's trying to prove herself. He's like her, like, superior, so it's forbidden. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ooh, and he's so protective of her and trying to, like, build her up and help her through all, like, the challenges and the things. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he, like, it's giving very, like, four from Divergent too, like, after the things, like, trying to, like, train her and, like, help her and do the things. Yep. But also he's like,
love that.
Oh, it's like, he's so, it's really fun. He also can't stay away from her. It's a shifter book. Take with that as you will.
Do we have Fade and Mates in this series?
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as you said couldn't stay away from her rainwater scent, I was like, Mates.
He's a werewolf. We're talking about scents. Take that with, okay.
Yeah.
That can't even be a spoiler because, like, you know, it's just, it is what it is.
Right.
Okay. But it's, like, they have really, really fun chemistry to read. And, like, the side characters are really fun. And, like, it's just very fun and fast. And, like, it does end on a cliffhanger, which is, like, really fun. But it's, like, you're in it and you just, like, want to start the next one. And there is steam. It's not, like, it exists. But, like, that's not why you're there. Like, it's, like, kind of few and far between. It's not, like, it's, like, the steamiest. So, like, if you're going for the steam, like, you're going to be disappointed. But it's just, like, a happy surprise when it comes up every once in a while.
Sure.
You know?
Okay.
Got it.
Love that. Love that.
But, yeah, I found this to be so fun and, like, silly and just a perfect little, like, fun, fast-paced fantasy palate cleanser. There is some, like, annoying Cassandra Clare type third act drama that happens emotionally in, or, like, in the relationship that I could do without, but, like, I just kind of ignored it. The way that I also kind of ignored the whole military aspect, because they're in, like, kind of like a, like,
you're taking a page out of my book. It just,
I was gonna
just
say this
doesn't exist.
Yeah, so, like, if you're not super into, like, if that really bugged you in Fourth Wing and you couldn't ignore it, like, maybe this isn't for you, but, like, I also just kind of ignored the squad commander, like, shit.
Right.
So,
as we did, yep.
yeah. But yes, I really loved this. This was really, really fun and it just, like, a joy, like, palate cleanser.
Have you had a chance to read the rest of them?
So I'm, like, halfway through book two. I haven't finished the rest of them, but it's, like, okay. The cliffhanger in book one is so good, you have to keep going. Like, you just can't.
Oh, I love that.
I love when that happens.
Yeah, it's really fun. Okay, so yeah, so that is Faded by Starlight by Krista Street.
Love that, Christina. Okay, Anna, what's your next one?
Oh, God. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
This one is Kim and Christina Don't Know What I'm Doing because I purposely didn't tell them.
Wait. Oh, God. What are we doing?
I'm scared.
I decided to do this on a whim.
Oh, no.
My God.
Okay. So, listeners, if you... Oh, shoot. I forgot to look this up in to tell you guys, but a couple book rec episodes ago, or I don't think it was the last one. I think it was one from earlier in the summer. I read a hockey romance that is a dark hockey romance that I was unprepared was a dark hockey romance.
Yeah, yeah. I remember
my
this.
Own fault.
I remember
my
this.
Fault.
Was this when he like chained her up? Yeah.
Yeah. that one was called the Puck. The name, the book was called The Pucking Wrong Number by C.R. Yes. Jane.
Yeah, I remember.
And I remember, anyways, listeners, you can go listen to me talk about that book.
It's a funny one.
It's a doozy. I was unprepared.
Okay.
I really thought that it was just going to be like a possessive, maybe a little over the top so, but no, okay. He's crazy.
Okay.
Like crazy.
Sure.
Okay. So there's a second book that came out a while ago. I was like, I have no interest in
Did
reading this.
Did you read this second book?
Did you? No, I have no book? Interest in reading book two. Okay. Well, okay. So book three just came out.
I have zero interest in book two, but let me tell you, I'm into book three.
So I skipped book two.
Okay.
I was like, I have no interest in reading the series. And then book three came out. I don't actually know when it came out, but it's been popping up on like various like Facebook book club. I've been like so many on Facebook and it's been popping up a lot as a recommendation. It's called The Pucking Wrong Date by C.R. Jane. This time I knew what I was getting myself into.
Okay.
I expected it to be dark. I read it thinking like, oh, I can't wait to like hate this book, but like laugh about it.
Yes.
In a fun way.
Okay.
So color me shocked.
Oh, my
when
God.
Nicole, friend of the podcast, Nicole, I was texting her being like, I can't wait to talk about this with Kim and Christina. And then like 4 hours later, I was like, okay, so I'm like on page 77 and the lead character, male character is like super endearing. They call him Disney because he's like a Prince Charming. He's like super sweet.
Okay.
I'm loving this. Literally 10 pages later, I text her and I'm like, okay, well, we've hit a level of unhinged. Real fast.
Disney's gone downhill. Dark Disney.
Disney's gone downhill. Okay, so listeners, I'm just going to read this quick little synopsis.
Please do.
Thank you, okay. Shelby. Thank you, Shelby, from Goodreads. I just didn't like the Goodreads synopsis, you know, that's provided by the...
Yeah.
I feel like it didn't give enough information.
Okay.
So Shelby, thank you for yours. Okay. Their main characters are Walker Davis. He's the hockey goalie, hockey goalie. Mm-hmm. And Olivia... Jones or Janes? Oh, shoot. Anyways, she's called Olivia Darling most of it. That's her stage name. She's a pop star.
Oh.
So Walker, yes, we have a pop star and an NHL whatever hockey player.
All right.
Okay, so Walker is a romantic hockey player. He watches his newest bestie, Ari was book two, fall in love, and Walker realizes he wants that. But he has always believed in love at first sight, thanks to his parents. He has a very like healthy home life.
Oh, God.
Okay.
I'm so confused.
I know. Listen, this is why I liked it. Okay.
You think you can do, you can only do so much as a parent, you know?
You can only do so much as a parent.
Okay.
You just never know. They can do everything right, you know?
You never know. Okay. So when Walker sees a gorgeous girl in the opposing team's jersey yelling that he sucks, he's a goner, naturally. Okay. Olivia was a star until she wasn't. Her life was no longer hers, and she is trapped in her current existence. Meeting Walker was not supposed to happen. Sleeping with him, definitely not. And seeing him again, impossible. Especially since she gave him a fake name. But Walker is best friends with Lincoln. Lincoln's in book one. He's a super unhinged one who, like, stalks his now current wife. Oh, he still stalks her,
like,
by the way.
He's like, bro, I can help you stalk her. Fantastic.
He's like, I got it.
No, they both get off. I realize they both get off on this. Like, the fucking deranged couple from book one. Like, he still, like stalks her. He has fun stalking her on campus while she's at going to classes. Like, it's a game they play. It's a primal play. Whatever.
You know what?
To each their own. Okay. So, but Walker is best friends with Lincoln, so he will do whatever is necessary to find his dream girl. He hires like a PI. When opportunities present themselves, Walker does not hesitate to do what he needs to do in order to secure his girl. Blackmail is not above him. Coercion, definitely a possibility. Working with the enemy and playing them in a long game, absolutely a must. Okay, so here's input. I know. Okay. So, like, does he do questionable things? Yes. Is he a walking red flag? Absolutely. But did I care at the end? No.
Okay. So, you ended up liking this man.
I did. Okay. I did like him. I liked him throughout the entire... Okay, so, listeners, I'm not going to tell you what the, like, red flag trigger warning things that he does. Go read the forward by the author. Like, I'm not going to rehash everything that she wrote in there. Mm-hmm. This is not, like, it's a dark hockey romance, but he is, he does something that's, like, on page 77 that I, like, freaked out to Nicole about is very, very freak-outable. Like, it's unhinged. Mm-hmm. However, I'm just going to say that because it's a dark romance, so obviously you have to expect something.
Yeah.
But, okay, so let me just set the scene for you.
Do it.
So Olivia is basically, think of her, she is like Taylor Swift famous.
Oh.
Okay? But really sadly, she's like Britney Spears, Kesha in a conservatorship against her will.
Mm.
At 19 years old, her mother is I cannot stress, I almost DNF the book on the first chapter because it's a flashback to when she's 9 years old and it is horrific how awfully she's abused by her mother. Like verbally, it's an understatement how terrible it is.
Yeah.
And she's been a child star since she was 9 years old. Her mother and her agent, there is like trigger warnings for sexual abuse. Mm. Like she had a horrible upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
At 19, this is all in the beginning. At 19, basically her mother drugs her with ketamine and takes salacious photos of her in compromising positions, her and her agent, to then blackmail her and be able to get conservatorship. They like put her in a home, like a psych ward, say she's crazy. And basically, so then for the next 2 years up, and then we get to present day, she's like 21. Mm-hmm. And she's still like under lock and key, has a bodyguard, and they like control everything in her life.
Wow.
So her cousin is like the only person she's allowed to see. And she goes to a hockey game with her cousin because her cousin's fiance, because her cousin's also in the NHL.
Okay.
So she goes to see him play and Walker is the opposing team's goalie.
Okay.
Enter Walker. So this is, I just want to read this quote that Walker says. I had no idea who she was, but for a heartbeat, I forgot about the game, the score, the pressure. I was entranced. Nothing else mattered. I stared at her angelic face in blind amazement until I lost my mind and I blew her a kiss. Watching in awe as her gorgeous face screwed up in disgust, gold-flecked eyes, unaware that she just changed my fucking world. And then it skips ahead and he says, she was fucking staring at me. She raised both hands slowly and flipped me off and I almost passed out on the ice just from having her attention.
Oh, okay, I like it.
Again, obviously it's dark and there's like something that he does. But I will say, at no point other than like the thing that he does, which you can, I think, deduce if you read the forward. It's pretty obvious. Everything that he does is for her safety and to make her feel safe and to be her safe space and to save her from her mom and the agent.
Okay.
Everything. At no point in time does he chain her to a bed.
Good.
Or great. Like...
Great. That's fantastic.
The stalking is more of like... She gives him a fake name, but he's, like, in love with her. And so he, like, looks her face up and, like, scans it because she's obviously extremely famous.
Well,
and the private investigator finds out. And what he finds out is, like, all this awful shit that her mom has done and her agent. And so, like, the whole book is him basically coming up with a plan how to save her. And also, like, just reminding her how amazing she is and that she deserves this because her entire her whole being is, like, wrapped up in this idea that she's unworthy.
Aww.
Because that's all she's been told since she was born. basically. So her mother hates her.
It's so sad.
It's really sad. But he, that's why he was, I guess I was able to, it's in the real world, what he did was really fucked up. But, yeah. But in the book, it's like,
it's like,
okay.
Yeah. You're so great, though. You're so great, though.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, if you want to know what it is, listeners, I think you'll deduce it in the forward. It's something I've talked about in other episodes. It's a pretty common theme in any dark, like, romance book for a possessive guy to do this. So it shouldn't shock anybody. Mm-hmm. It's not like chaining her to a bed, like at the, like, book one's episode, okay, good, like locking her in a basement or anything like that. He literally reminds her every day that she is worthy and he loves her.
That's
and
great.
I think that's, I don't know. There's a lot of Office jokes. There's a ton of Taylor jokes.
Oh, fun.
Oh, yes. Him and all the guys, the text chains remind me of Meghan Quinn, like in the Agitator series.
Yeah.
They're hysterical. There might even be a strip dance that he performs to Taylor Swift's "Don't Blame Me" at a bachelorette party because he doesn't want the actual strippers to show themselves to her. So he's like, "I'll strip."
Oh my god! Stop it right now. That's like, hysterical.
So it's just like there's like really a lot of funny moments. There's a lot of heart. It's a really good writing.
Yeah.
And the spice, the praise. That, like I said, this man does everything in his power to make her feel wanted, loved, and that she's worthy. And it is in the bedroom, the praise is like so hot.
Love it. It is so good.
Love that.
Love it.
Very, very good. I think that's it.
Love that.
So that's the Pucking Wrong Date by C.R. Jane.
Okay.
Check the forward if you guys want to know. If you want to be spoiled, you can DM and I'll tell you. It's if you read Dom by S.J. Tilley, it's like in a lot of mafia books. So anybody who reads mafia won't have a problem with this.
Great.
Got it. Okay.
Fantastic. Love it. Yay. All right, Kim, you go. Oh, this is our, yay!
This is it, Christina. Okay. Oh, you guys, we are so excited. Okay, so a couple of Book Rec episodes ago, I talked about By a Thread by Lucy Score. Lucy Score also wrote that very viral TikTok series with the pink flowers and the purple flowers that I thought was garbage trash. That's fine. I'm not going to get into it. I thought it was garbage trash. The By a Thread was like the Devil Wears Prada kind of romance.
Yes.
Christina, I still really want you to read that.
I will. I swear to you.
This one is The Worst Best Man. This came out like a while ago, but the upside of that is like it might be available at your library or things like that. So the upside to an older book, I think.
Is it on KU?
It's on KU.
Okay.
I think most of her books are on KU.
I agree.
Like By a Thread was on KU, The Worst Best Man. This is so fun. And I texted Christina and I was like, this is a book that you would love. It is so silly and fluffy and fun and just like a perfect beach read, right?
So beach readyy. This is like literally the epitome of a beach read for me.
Oh, good.
It's so mindless while also being like fun and engaging. Like it's just like exactly what you want. Like, yes, do characters act crazily? Yeah, they sure do. Uh-huh. It's like, are things unrealistic? Oh my god.
Of course.
Like, is it so fun? Yes. Like,
yeah.
I felt like this is like the equivalent of like, I don't know, like a cheesy like Netflix movie where like you're not like trying to do, I'm not like, this isn't Oscar award winning, but like, am I having so much fun? And this is everything I want it to
fun.
Be. Yes.
The most fun. Okay, so I'm going to do, I mean, like this like Goodreads synopsis is kind of cheesy. So basically, Francesca, she goes by Frankie. She is the maid of honor in her very, very, very wealthy best friend's wedding. Mm-hmm. And she's marrying like a Chip the Third type situation guy.
As one does. As one does.
This is like, they're in New York, Manhattan, of course, like Upper East Side. And she is like a...
She lives in Brooklyn.
She lives in Brooklyn, but like, she's supposed to be poor, but she seems very like normal to me. Like,
oh, yeah.
Compared to them.
She's a normal person. Yeah.
Right. She's like, a normal person, but compared to them, she's like literally homeless, basically.
Yes.
Like, to them, she's like, wow.
You live in Brooklyn?
Right. Like on the street?
They're like, you don't have a doorman? Are you actually homeless? Like, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
So she's the maid of honor and they're at like an engagement party and she meets the best man for the first time. And he basically insinuates that she's a stripper.
It's not a good start.
He's like, she's a stripper, and she's like, hears on the him pole, and she's like,
it's bad.
I'm sorry, excuse me. Like, she is very feisty, very like a kind of stereotypical Brooklyn, but like, we love to see it.
It's really
and
fun.
So the wedding is in, or the, yeah, is it in like the Bahamas?
It's Barbados.
Barbados. Ooh. Barbados. So yeah. The whole thing takes place basically in Barbados in New York. And there's like this whole storyline.
Oh, there's a whole story. The groom gets kidnapped and they have to go.
What?
Yeah. They're like all in Barbados. It's the night before the wedding. And he gets kidnapped in this van. Uh-huh. And Frankie's like, no, follow the van. And then they
like,
go.
Hijinks ensue.
Hijinks ensue. And there's a whole like other hotel. They have to pretend to be other people at this fancy other wedding to get him from the hotel. And they're like traveling around Barbados. And it's... It's hijinks. So fun. It's hijinks
and this. It sounds like the, what's the Bradley Cooper movie with the wedding and
The Hangover?
Yes, it sounds like The Hangover.
Oh, yes, very Hangover-y.
Very similar, but like,
so it's Hangover plus. Remember that? Oh my gosh, that one movie with Channing Tatum and what's her face, and she's the author, and they're in the island.
Yes, Christina, you and I watched this.
Yes, exactly. It's like a cross between...
That's not helpful to anybody.
I'm like...
It's a cross between those two movies.
Sandra Bullock. Yes, Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum.
And like it's like hijinks and adventure on an island, but also like so, the Hangover.
It's so bad, but so good.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yes. So love that. It is so fun. They're like in this like little... like. It's not like a, I don't even it's know, like it's like a taxi,
and it's like a 12-year-old guy driving it, and then like his uncle's like sleep in the back. It's just a whole thing.
It is so silly, but like, you,
it's so fun too, and it's sexy and cute and hot.
Yeah.
And like,
oh yeah, it's sexy.
There's a whole part where they have to like pretend to like, they, like sneak into this like really fancy hotel because that's where he's being held. It's a whole thing.
He's being held.
So like, there's a whole thing, and they have to sneak in, and so they like climb over this fence, and they're like in there like, she's in her bridesmaid's dress for the next day and he's in his suit, and they like climb over this fence, and the way they can like get away from the guards finding them is they like pretend like they're wedding guests hooking up in the sand, and they just like get so into it that you're just like reading on, they're just really hooking up on page, and then he's like and then there someone comes over with a flashlight, he's like, how dare you shine a flashlight on her, like, sir, good sir, like, it's so funny, he like loses it, and she's like, this is what we're supposed to be doing, like, what's happening, are you not faking it, like, what,
why are you calling us scene, because we're supposed to be doing this, like, chill.
But yeah, but like, then the big part of it is he's rich boy, she's like Brooklyn girl, and like fitting into each other's worlds is like a big part of it. Yeah. Like after the wedding,
very Pride and Prejudice,
very
Prejudice, yes,
very kind of like Made in Manhattan. You know what I mean?
Oh, fantastic reference. Yes.
Made in Manhattan, but like with a part of it in Barbados and like hijinks and hijinks stuff.
And like her brothers are really fun. And
we've
like,
thrown in a lot of references.
Yeah. This, you know, it's a mishmash.
It's
but the brothers are super funny. They're like very stereotypical, Brooklyn like boys. New York. Yeah, very funny. Again, like Aiden definitely like completely change his personality, and like everything he's ever thought has gone out the window now that he's met this girl? Yes, absolutely. Brilliant. Yes.
Are things unrealistic? But, like, there's one friend that's like absolutely unhinged. Like, she's like this like crazy stereotype of a rich party girl to like the 20 millionth degree. And like, but it kind of sets the tone of like the silliness. Like, you're like, okay, this is where we are.
This is our level.
In the silliness.
This is our level.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's like the perfect beach read, the perfect pool read. Like, if you just need something mindless and fun, but it's still steamy.
No, this sounds really fun for
it
like the
summer. It is so fun. I love Lucy Scores. Like, the two books that I've read, again, whatever that, the Things We Hide from the Light, Things We Whatever, the Things series, skip it. Hard skip. These, I think, I'm like, did the same author write these books? I don't know. But it is just, if you go in with the right mindset, okay, it's really fun.
Like, this is beach read if I've ever read one.
No, I think it's like Pretty Rings and Broken Things, whatever it's called. It's like you just have the right mindset. Like, you had to be in the right mindset to read Pucking Wrong Date. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. A very specific, different mindset, but still,
you have to like, you gotta like set yourself up.
Yeah. So, guys, I would highly recommend this one and By a Thread. I'm gonna get Christina to read By a Thread because it's very Devil Wears Prada. Also set in New York. She loves a book set in New York. I love a book set in New York.
What's this one called again?
This is called The Worst Best Man by Lucy Score.
Loved it.
Yay!
I'm very excited. This sounds really fun.
Did anybody have anything else before we get to our favorite book?
Okay, so on Patreon, if you want to hear my thoughts on this series, I did like a whole episode and I have a book review. But The Brutes of Bristlebrook by Rebecca Quinn. I don't want to like bore everybody because I feel like a lot of our Patreons have already heard my thoughts on this.
Okay.
Patrons have heard my thoughts. I loved this. It's a trilogy. Only two books are out. It ends on a cliffhanger. So if that's not your thing, wait till closer to the summer to read it. The third book comes out this summer. I am like dying for book three.
Is this the white shoes?
Yeah. Oh, yes. This is a why choose. Yeah. So if that's not your thing, that's fine. Move along. move along. I will tell you all, and I am not kidding when I say this, I had a bigger book hangover with this series than I did CC3 by a lot.
That's wow. Like, yeah. Yeah.
I think about it daily. I text Nicole about it daily. I DM with Cheryl about it. I love the book. It was extremely well written.
Yeah.
Like very well written. She has incredible like writing. The character development is some of the best I've read in a romance book. Period. End of story. Yes, there is spice. It's a white shoes. However, I just to like summarize it, I went into this series literally thinking I was just going to get smut. That was like my whole point. I started at 1 a.m. after finishing CC3. And I was like, yep, I'm just into this for like the spiciness. Mm-hmm. Color me shocked when the story is good. I really cannot stress enough how incredible every single character is. Mm. And every single character has a POV. And normally when you have that many POVs, specifically that many like male POVs, mm-hmm. I feel like in a Why Choose, the male characters get lost and they all overlap. I could not usually tell you like if you went to the middle of a chapter who was talking. Not the case. Every single male POV is every single male main character is so specifically written and has their own voice and has like things like not I want to say trauma, but has like things that they're working through. Mm-hmm. And it's a dystopian-esque world, but not like Hunger Games or like Divergent. Think just like there was a big war and there's no more government. And so they're living on a compound. Mm. These five guys who were in the army. And
there's five of them.
Yeah, there's five.
Okay, but talk to me. Okay, so also.
But not all at once.
Okay.
That's, so I need to like make that clear.
Okay,
like
hold on.
Go ahead.
Sorry, so the why choose might be confusing. It's also commonly referred to as a reverse harem.
Yes.
So Anna's talking about one girl being with multiple guys. We had gotten some like questions on like, what does why choose mean?
Oh, sorry, yes. So in that world, so.
She was like, I know the slang. I know the lingo.
I'm in it.
But yes, reverse harem.
Yes, reverse harem. Yeah, it used to be called that. Now it's called the white shoes. It's like now the common
okay,
term.
Okay, so talk to me about like, is there group sex? Is there multiple men
penetrating
together
one
with
time.
Her? Yeah. Well, that too, but yeah.
I'm curious.
That has not happened.
Okay, good. Okay. No, sorry. So that has not happened. I feel like that's a lot.
That has not happened, and usually that does happen in a white shoes. I mean, I haven't read a lot, but I have read a few, uh-huh. And usually that does happen. That has not happened yet. Not to like spoil anything if you're interested in the series, but just to like if you are curious, it's more about I think why this was so appealing and so well written is because it really is about her individual relationship with each guy. There's also a male-male dynamic.
Ooh, love
that is. When I say I read, it was like one of the best love declarations and grovel scenes, not because he did anything unforgivable or it's not a dark romance at all. It's just one of the best grovel and love declarations I've ever read. Like I like rarely highlight a KU book and I was highlighting like the entire chapter between these like two guys having this conversation. It was beautiful.
Okay. And how beautiful to have that many different like dynamics.
Yeah. Dynamics.
Like, yeah.
Her and all of them and then the two of them. Like that's like, so cool to read all those things
at
one time.
There is like steam that happens right away or you know, whatever within the first like third of the book.
Uh-huh.
But it really it is not like spicy scene after spicy scene after spicy scene. It really is spread out. I would say it's like how you read Akasov. There's like that level. I would say that amount of spice.
Sure, yeah.
The level and like it might be more intense than Akasov, but it's I would say in like a 700 page, the second book is like 600 pages and it's about the same amount of spicy scenes, just probably a little bit more explicit in some ways.
Okay.
Yeah, like I would say there is like a threesome at one point, but like not what you were talking about, Christina. Like it's just like two guys and a girl. Yeah, she really has a relationship with each guy individually, and she's also building some of the guys she doesn't have like anything with until book two. Like it really is building a friendship with some of the guys until like all of a sudden there's feelings there. Like it doesn't immediately start out as like five guys and a girl.
Okay. Yeah, that's so interesting.
Sorry, all the guys are okay with this? Like everyone's on the same page?
Yeah, it's like end of the world, so like pickings are slim.
Okay.
The way you just said pickings are slim was fantastic. No, actually, this is actually very interesting. The dystopian element makes sense.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
So they were all, like, all the guys are very good friends. They were all a part of, like, I mean, this is not spoilers. They were all a part of, like, they were all in the army. Some one of them was a doctor. One of them was a psychologist. And then the other three were, like, active duty.
Okay.
And so you have, like, also varying levels of, like, the psychologist is, like, Jasper is so freaking interesting. Mm-hmm. And, but they also were all a part of, like, a kink club, like a sex club. And so there's like, they're all used to like being around each other, I guess. So when Eden stumbles in and is running away from like these guys who are, again, it's dystopian and there are like awful people out there, mm-hmm. and she's running away, they save her and she agrees to stay with them. And they were like, would you be open
to this? Yeah.
Like, are you into this? Blah, blah, blah. And they like talk it out. And anyways.
And she is.
So that's kind of, and she is. She's like, it's been 5 years.
Spoiler alert.
Yes. Spoiler alert. It's been 5 years.
She is.
Hard yes. Yeah.
But yeah, Anna did a video about this with Nicole over on our Patreon. So if you want to hear more spoilers, go to our Patreon and watch that video. It's great. Nicole is so funny.
She's so funny. And the first like 20-ish minutes, we kept it spoiler free. So. And cool. we dived in a bit more than this right here.
Yes.
But anyways, so that is that's on Patreon, and that's Brutes of Bristlebrook by Rebecca Quinn. I can't remember which one comes first. It's Ensnared and Entangled. I can't remember which one is first, but those are the two books.
Amazing. Got it.
Love it.
Yeah, fast reads. They're good.
Before we get to our last book that we loved so much, I just have a little Kim rant that I need to talk about because I know that this is not in the vein of book wrecks. However, I have no one else to talk to about this and no other situation where I could talk about this. So unfortunately, you're going to have to listen to me.
I love a Kim rant.
It's not a KU book, but it is a very popular book that was picked. It's okay. Let me just tell you what it's called. The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. This was a Reese's book club pick. This is being made, or actually I think has already wrapped filming. It's a movie with Jennifer Garner, I think, which we love her. She's America's sweetheart. However, okay, this was marketed, I thought, as like a domestic thriller. Okay. Which we all know I read thrillers. That's
girl.
My thing.
Yes. Yeah.
We're thinking Gone Girl. We're thinking Girl in the Window. We're thinking Girl on the Train. Girls doing things.
Girls on places.
Girls on a boat, snakes on a plane. Okay, so like I thought that's what I was getting into.
Yes.
And y'all, this has like 100,000 reviews. 100,000 reviews on Goodreads.
So many.
And I'm again like,
what's it rated?
Like over like 4.14. Like it's something insane. Okay, something okay, just
okay,
insane.
Okay.
So maybe it's just me. Well, let me just like tell you what it's about and then I'll say like spoiler warning if you just are ever like if you want to pick this up, which I wouldn't recommend. Okay, so this is about a woman named Hannah, and she lives with her husband Owen in Sausalito. They live on like a really gorgeous houseboat, which doesn't sound like my jam, but it sounds beautiful. Just like not personally for me.
Okay.
Love it for you, not for me, but they live in like this gorgeous houseboat. It's like all glass and like he's very wealthy. He runs like a tech startup. Doesn't matter. It's a startup. Who cares? Not me. And he has a 16-year-old daughter named Bailey from a previous relationship, and her mother has passed away. And so Hannah's coming into the picture, and she's trying to navigate like her new husband and having this relationship with Bailey, who's a 16-year-old girl. So obviously not very nice, just as 16-year-old girls tend to be.
Yeah.
And Bailey like wants nothing to do with Hannah, like is like absolutely not into you. And so basically the premise of the story, I thought, is that one day Owen goes missing. He disappears. And it turns out that his company is being investigated by the FBI for, like, fraud. Like, whatever the tech people do that's bad. Like, you know, when they know when the stocks are going to go, whatever that's called.
Yeah, insider trading.
That thing.
Okay.
And, or something like, yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. And so this girl, young girl, shows up at their door and is like, hi, this guy told me to give you this note. And she was like, what? And it's like this like elementary school age child. And it's a note. And all it says is protect her. That's it. Protect her. That's
fascinating.
Bailey? That means the daughter? Yeah,
The daughter. And so instantly, like, and Hannah's like, okay, obviously you mean. But like, she's like, what the fuck? Like, she doesn't know that he's missing at that point when the girl gives her the note. And then the girl runs off. And so she's calling her husband. The FBI's showing up. The U.S. Marshals are showing up. Because they're like, you had to know. Like, it's your husband. And she's like, I did not. Shant, you're wrong. Bailey's freaking out because, like, her mom has already died. Like, her mom passed away. And so she's obviously, like, very upset.
Sure.
So they go on this adventure, Hannah and Bailey. Okay. And they are going to go find out what happened to Owen, where he is.
Because they can do that better than the FBI.
They absolutely can. They can. They're also trying to track him, by the way. And then, like, also invest, like, wanting to keep tabs on, like, Bailey and Hannah because they think that they're going to go, like, meet up with him. Like, they secretly know where he is. And I don't. And, like, in that process, they find out that basically his entire identity was a lie. Sorry. Okay, so, like, spoilers.
Spoilers from here on out.
This isn't the synopsis, but, like, whatever. That he basically, like, his entire identity was a lie. Everything that he told them was a lie. Huh. The mom that died, completely different woman. Like, there's literally pictures of a woman that's, like, a different woman than, like, her actual mom. And Hannah always thought it was weird because the woman looks nothing like Hannah. Bailey? Yeah. Bailey, sorry. And when she finally finds a picture of this woman who was actually Bailey's mom, like, they're identical. Y'all, okay. So, first of all, there's nothing thriller about, there's nothing.
Okay. Is it, like, more of a mystery?
Because it sounds interesting. But, like.
It's not.
Okay.
I know, because I'm like, it does sound interesting. No.
So essentially, let me just spoil it for you. Owen, his first wife, Bailey's mother, she was a mob boss's daughter, essentially. And the mob boss was the wife's dad. And he did, like, some shady dealings. And Owen kind of got involved because he was a tech guy, as the mafia does. And Owen, like, the dad was like, hey, son-in-law, like, come help us with, like, this tech stuff because you're real tech savvy. Mm-hmm. You know, like, IT support, basically. And so he does. But then they start doing, like, really bad things. And so Owen sells them out to the FBI. And, like, a bunch of the mob boss's top guys get put away in prison.
Not good. Don't be arrested.
I've read enough mafia books to know what happens to those guys.
Exactly. So then Owen's first wife mysteriously gets killed. And they said it was a car accident, that a car hit her. Oh. But then it turns out that, like, Owen is pretty sure that it was a retaliation
against him.
And he blames the mob boss dad because he's like, this is your fault. You brought us into this. Like, these are your shady dealings. These are your guys. And the mob boss is like, it wasn't my guys. Like, it wasn't them. And he's like, I don't believe you. And he takes Bailey and runs away and starts a new life, creates a whole new identity for them. And
hence the houseboat. Makes sense now.
Smart. Hence, like, everything about him, like, everything he's told her, like, he's given her little tidbits and, like, she follows those tidbits to the truth. But basically it's all, like, his name is not his name, all this stuff. Anyways, so, like, this woman goes and, first of all, the whole book is just Bailey and Hannah and their relationship and, like, them forging a relationship.
Okay.
Finding the truth. And, like, that's great, but that's not what
that's not what I said.
I did not want a story about a woman forging a relationship with her stepdaughter and, like, bonding and really just coming together in the face of adversity. And, like,
it's not what you signed up for.
And then I got to the mob boss part and I was like, what is happening? What are we doing? It was just crazy. Y'all, here's where I'm upset. Okay. The fucking ending. So she finds the mob boss, grandpa, at this point.
Grandpa.
And she's like, you've got, like, let Owen come back. like, he can't come back because he's worried about, I don't even know how
so this actually. So the mob boss knows where Owen is?
He doesn't know, but he, okay, so I guess the mob boss and, like, his guys who he put in prison found Owen, and that's why Owen is running.
Okay,
got it. The whole them being investigated, I actually don't really know what that has to do with it, but he's on the run from, like, the guys that he put in prison.
Yes.
Got it.
And the mob boss is like, you put him in prison, like, what are we supposed to do? He's a dead man, like, what am I supposed to do? It's my guys, I don't know.
Yeah. This is the mafia.
Yeah. And so Hannah's like, no, I get that, I do. I just, like, you know, I want to see him again at some point. And
yeah.
The mob boss grandpa's like, well, I want a relationship with Bailey.
Oh, no.
This woman makes a pact and is like, let us walk out of here. And he's like, okay, I can, but, like, you'll never see Owen again. And she's like, okay.
Wait.
And the fucking ending is that they never see him again. And he randomly, like, 5 years later, like, she goes home. She raises Bailey. Really.
Does Bailey know that she can't see her father again?
Yeah.
They're like, this makes sense. You know what? We love each other so much after this journey that we don't care about him anymore.
That it's like, I'm enough for her. And she basically tells Bailey that, like, yeah, your dad can't ever come back. And you're never going to see him again.
And she's like, but
we're going to be safe. And I love you now. And you love me now. And that's enough.
How many days has it been? 2 days?
I don't know how many days. It hasn't been that long. Like, it's been a couple of weeks. It definitely has not been, like, months.
Okay.
So the ending of the book, she's an artist. She's at an art show. This is, like, 5 years later. Okay. They've never spoken to him again. He's never contacted them. Bailey is getting it, like, dating this guy, and Hannah's meeting him for the first time. She's an artist. She's at an art show, and he walks in and he looks completely different. Like, he's grown his hair out, dressed, whatever. He walks by her and, like, they touch fingers, and then he walks away and she goes, and I know that was the last time I'll ever see him. Bookends. I'm sorry. What the fuck? What the fuck? The ending is literally them just being like,
that's it. I'll never see him again.
But, like, the whole point of the mob boss being like, he can't come back, and Hannah's like, okay.
And then he does, in fact, come back.
But why could you do that?
Just to fingers.
Touch
but
fingers.
If you're the father, you're like, your whole thing is to protect her. This is your father, whatever.
Yes.
Once you have that, like, moment also to be like, no, I can finger touch with you, but I also have to talk to my daughter. I have to see, like, I have to, like, have that interaction. Like, no.
Is he just working with mafia now? Like, he's in hiding?
No, he's, like, running. He's, like, in hiding from them. And I don't know what he's doing. I don't know how he's making money or how he's making a living, or is he a bum? I have no idea.
Was he dressed well?
No, he wasn't dressed like homeless, but he looked like, I think she said he looked like kind of a surfer dude, maybe. But he's never made contact with them. He's never.
We've moved from a houseboat to a hut on the beach.
To a hut on the beach. He sells coconuts. He runs a surfer hut. On the beach.
You're at an all-inclusive and the guys, they're like, do you want to snorkel? Would you like some fish?
Yeah,
like,
that's him. I was so fucking pissed. I was like, are you joking me? This is it? Like, after this whole, I was like, what are we doing? Who cares about the bonding between Hannah and Bailey? And Bailey wants a sweatshirt, and Hannah gives her a sweatshirt. And, like, this whole thing about this bratty teenager. It just, the whole thing is about their relationship. Like, that's what the book is about. And if I would have known that going in.
But
literally, Reese picked it as a book club pick. Her production company made a movie with Jennifer Garner.
You know what movie I won't be watching?
Surely. This one. Because I'm like, if they keep that ending, I would riot if I went to the movie theater and watched that. I would riot in the streets. Would be so pissed. I'm sorry. I was so mad, and I was like, I have no one to talk to about this, and they're never going to read it. So
I'm never going to talk to you about it. I'm 100% never going to read it.
I was indignant as a consumer, and... Yes.
100%.
I don't like books without a happy ending. I don't. I realize it's a thriller, but it's really even not a thriller. There's nothing thrilling about it. Like, it's just, crap. Yeah.
I wasn't thrilled. I wasn't thrilled.
I wasn't thrilled. That's right, Christina. I was pissed. It was the rock all over again. It was the island on the rock with the guy that survived for 2 years. The cluster of rocks
all over again.
Oh my God, I'll never forget that.
But on a happier note, let's talk about He's Not My Type by Megan Quinn.
Guys.
This is our MVP of books.
Oh my God.
This is, we are all obsessed with this. It's obsessed so good.
Was so much fun. Yes. Okay, so He's Not My Type is book 4 in the Vancouver Agitator series by Megan Quinn. I think I talked about book 3, which is Right Man, Right Time in one of our KU episodes.
I think I did. Yeah.
This was chef's kiss. So much fun. Kim, do you want to read a quick little synopsis?
Sure. Well, so I also talked about books 1 and 2. I've read all the books. Christina and Anna have only read 3 and 4, and that's on my recommendation. Because book 2 doesn't exist to me, and book 1 was like good, not great. So this, it's kind of hard to do this. Okay. So this follows Halsey, and he is the quiet, brooding type. Face always stuck in a book, kind of like the Bell of the series. You know what I mean? Loves to read.
He's the Bell.
He's the Bell.
He's really quiet. He has a twin brother who he lost tragically. And so he is still very much grieving over that and trying to process that. Basically, he is in love with, like, obsessed in love with immediately. What's her name?
Blakely.
Yeah. Blakely, who works for the Vancouver Agitators. She's like the VIP.
Sweet, like, relations PR
director.
Yeah.
He's obsessed with her. He's been obsessed with her for years.
It's so adorable.
And through a series of events, she has to go stay
never inappropriately. So just
quietly,
because she had a boyfriend. He was like, oh, she's off limits, but like he loves her.
He loves her
because all of a sudden she doesn't have a boyfriend.
That's and right. She doesn't have a boyfriend and she needs some place to stay.
She needs a place to stay.
Because conveniently, her apartment flooded.
Yeah!
The pipe burst.
And this setup of this, of them being like, well, you know, we're traveling all the time and you know, Halsey really has this plant, this bonsai tree that he's really obsessed with. And then he's like, what is a bonsai tree? What are you fucking talking about? And he's like, yeah. And then one of them's like, his name's Sherman. He named it. Its name is Sherman. And he's like,
Posey. Yeah, what? Posey's one of the hockey players on the team.
So I text Kim this morning and I said, wait, did I miss Posey's book? Because he's not the cabin guy, he's not the pregnant guy, and he's not the, like, older guy.
Silas.
And then I was like, wait, but am I confused? Like, no, we haven't gotten his book yet. And I was like, the amount that we're going to die laughing in his book, because we are all crying laughing at him in this book.
Y'all, crying.
Posey
is
hilarious in all of them. So, all of them. So there are 5 best friends, right? There's 5 of them.
Well, now there's OC as well.
Kid. So there's like the rookie. He's not really a rookie, but is he a rookie? Whatever.
He's the new guy.
The new guy in the group.
He got traded.
Okay, so there's like the four main. There's like the first 4 books are out, including the one we're talking about.
Okay, so Pacey, Hornsby, Silas, Halsey, and Posey. So
and
5.
Posey, yes, and then OC is the name of the new guy in the group, and all of them, the text chains, just like how Becca Mack, like, nails those, like, you know, found family dynamics and, like, the text chains and, like, the locker room banter. Laugh out loud.
Perfect example. Or perfect comparison, though, Anna. Like, the Becca Mack, like, found family text chain stuff. Like, this is, if you love that, you will love this. This is the same feeling, same vibe. And, like, it's
the hardest I've ever, like, literally, Anna and I were in San Antonio. And I was texting her from the next room being like, I am, like, snorting laughing so hard. I woke up my daughter who was sleeping next to me because I was hysterically snorting laughing.
So funny. And like, so guys, good. if you remember when we talked about, like, when I talked about book 2 and Silas, like Silas's book, there was a part in that book where I like laughed out loud, snorted on the plane, scared the guy next to me. I think if you're going to start the series, obviously you're more than welcome to start with book 1. I've only read 3 and 4, so is Christina. I think you can start with book
I like book 1. Book 1's good.
Yeah, you can read book 1. Kim didn't like book 2.
Skip it.
And then book 3 is Silas, which is so funny, so good. So hot, so good. And
I would say, like, this one's really
this one, guys, really Halsey. Good. Listen, it's always the quiet ones.
Yeah.
It's always the quiet ones.
Fantastic. And I think something about him being so sweet while being so hot is like really working for me. Like, maybe even more than Silas. I don't know. I'm loving this one.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I agree. So Kim and I are actually going to do a Patreon episode, like a mini book club episode on this that will have tons of spoilers.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear like more in-depth thoughts.
I will not be able to make it due to scheduling conflicts, but I
And Christina's also still finishing it, but
and so I we won't. Have, I have 100
we won't
left.
Spoil it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all, it's but just it's so good.
It's just so fun.
It's romantic and funny and sweet and like adorable. I just am loving it.
He falls first, like we said, so hard, and mm-hmm. she is just oblivious to it mm-hmm. in a way until all of a sudden she's not. And then she's like, how did I miss this?
Yeah.
Like, how did I miss how wonderful and how he looks at me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, it's just, it's guys. And it's amazing.
It's funny.
It's
swoon worthy.
It's sexy. It's laugh out loud funny. Found family. Mm-hmm. Grief. Like, beautiful, touching, endearing moments.
Very
steamy.
This
is my favorite. Yeah.
Very steamy. So just again. Always like to call
like,
that
checks
out.
Checks all those boxes. Like, truly, every box we just said checks it. It's incredible.
Anna, did she confirm that Posey's book is next, or is it OC?
I'm pretty sure it was Posey's book. I actually, you know what? I'm not sure. I thought she said at the end of the book. I can check really quick. I have it pulled up right here.
Because OC, they also kind of alluded at the end of the book that, like...
They did.
That OC, like, had something going on with a girl. And he was like, shut up. What about Posey? And Posey's like, shut up. What about OC? And I was like, okay. I see what we're doing here.
I see it.
So, you know what? You're right. I'm not sure. Like, I thought she said that Posey's book was next. I'm assuming it's Posey just because OC is newer to the group.
That's true.
OC seems to have something. There is a girl I think OC is like rhyming with.
One of the trainers.
Yeah, one of the trainers. And she's like not giving him the time of day. Grace.
Yeah. Tension.
And then Posey, I'm wondering, do we think Posey might be gay? Am I just like,
interesting. I would love that.
I don't know why I think like it would be, because when OC, this is not a spoiler, but like OC, you know, is like, oh yeah, I think Posey has a girl. And Posey's like, shut up. And they all start teasing him about a girl. And he's like, I don't have a girl. And he, like, leaves the group chat. Oh. I was just, like, wondering if, like, maybe it's not a girl. But, I mean, I'm not saying – I don't know that she's ever – I could be wrong, but I don't know that she's ever written an MM romance.
I don't think so. And I feel like it would have
– But, I mean, maybe I could be reading. I just was
– No, I totally agree. He did, like – he was being super weird about, like, when they asked him about it. But I kind of feel like that's something he would have told the guys at that point. Like, they're
so close.
That's what
I was thinking, too. They're so close. I don't think anybody would care.
Oh, absolutely not. But I think they would, like, be upset if he didn't, that he wouldn't share that, you know?
Right.
I think that, like, so much of it is about the found family and the, like, you know, like, especially in this book specifically.
Especially
so
in this book with Halsey
things.
And, like, the grief and stuff. And it's so, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's great.
But
highly recommend.
Anyways,
okay.
Yep. He's Not My Type by Megan Quinn, and that's
we
the end of it.
We love that one. Yes, what a
we
good one to
it.
End on. We love that one so
what
much.
What a high note. Okay, I think that's it, guys. That wraps up this KU Book Recs episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Like we mentioned, check out our Patreon. We'll be doing a couple book chats with spoilers on some of these books. So be sure to go join us over there. The link will be in our show notes as always. Follow us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Cheers,
bye.
Listeners.
Cheers,
bye.
Happy reading. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.